The second point. more is that we do know that Allah, we know that some of Allah's attributes, for example, we do know Allah's understanding. We know that Allah can see. We know that Allah can hear. We know that many, many attributes of Allah that we won't show, and many that we won't show. So how can Allah say, no one can count this hand, or this guy at the highway say, no one can count behind him, when we already know some of Allah's attributes, we even know where Allah is. We even know the status of Allah right now, that he's on top of seven skies, on his throne, on the earth, and his feet are on the stool and horse. So, how do we know all this? And then we got Imam al-Bukhari saying, you cannot comprehend him. And then you got Allah saying, you can't compass him. Or comprehend him as well. The way to unite between those two is that we do know a limited portion. We do get an answer to the contradiction of what appears to be a contradiction. The answer to that is this: we get some of Allah's attributes, but we don't, we can't encompass Allah fully. No one can now tell me my imagination. I'm sure I know what Allah looks like. Or someone can draw a sketch now, you know, with the ghost. You could probably, I always say this, I say with the district, the description of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we know the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I say if you take it to those artists, you know, the drawing and the computer programs that we have, I think we can probably bring someone resembling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very, very close. And yeah, I say that's hard to do, but the point is we got so much detail how his beard looks like, his skin color, his facial appearance, what his hair looked like, everything. And you can get to the point of almost trying it. Could you get to that point with Allah? Of course not. That's what it means. It means you know some attributes, I was told to say, attributes, you know some attributes of Allah, but you cannot fully encompass Allah. You know some attributes of Allah, but you cannot fully comprehend Allah. You gotta know that he's supreme and he's beyond your imagination. If you say it's the end of his attributes together, and what he gave us of himself and what the Prophet said together, you cannot say, oh, then we know that, and get in a visual image in the behind that. I tell you, Allah is beyond about it too much because you will not fully comprehend a law through the attributes that we have. Another point is that some people, and I actually in a recent lecture had said this and I was asked about it, some people had said that Allah is what you think of him. So see, what we take is practical. We take this. Someone said, what's that have to do with me? I say it's practical, because someone was asked recently in a lecture after a lecture, so what do you, what's all about Allah? He said, Allah is what you think of him in your imagination. There's a difference. If you said, Allah's what you think of him, meaning if you think good of Allah, if you think Allah's going to accept your du'a, then Allah will. If you think good of Allah, Allah will bring you good. That's different. I'm talking about trying in your mind to imagine Allah and how Allah looks like. If you say you can do that, and Allah's what you think of, then you're beginning to draw up a physical feature of Allah, which you cannot do. Rest assured, you can never do this. And usually, you know, it's the desire of a human being, it's the desire, internal desire, of wanting to see Allah, because right now, if you talk about heaven, you talk about how people are going to see Allah in heaven, that's probably one of the best things that people know. You know how you're going to see Allah in heaven? Because they want to see who they worship. But Allah took that away from us, and he did not tell us fully how we can encompass him and how he is fully one. Probably for a wisdom that only Allah knows, maybe to believe in the right and the unforeseen. Seeing is gonna believe and seeing is not. So we got the proof on this matter. We got the apparent contradiction. The contradiction is we know some of Allah's attributes. We know Allah's on top of seven stars on his head. We know some of Allah's attributes, then the author and Allah in the Quran say, you cannot encompass him, yet we mean the one to bring that contradiction is to say you cannot fully encompass him. The next one after that is you gotta know, and what we talked about is that Allah is beyond your imagination. The last one someone says, well, unless what you think of him, as someone said, and as Deviant6 say, then that means that's not true. You cannot comprehend Allah in your mind. The next statement, number 8, line number 9. What is it?
There's no sect called Al-Mushabbiha. There's
فکر کردم مشبه آن مشبه از نیم دیدم که این دوست اکمتر الله که آدم یومن بیز اکمتر یومن بیز که الله سایی که بیاتی انا مشبه که بی کشن انا مشبه یکی که مسلم سات انا مشبه
Yeah.
28 after the Hijra. Whomever, imagine that, whomever compares Allah to a creation is a kafir. Whomever denies an attribute of Allah, that Allah or His Messenger attributed to Himself is a kafir. Look how dangerous that is. Whomever denies an attribute that Allah gives to Himself or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to Allah, he's a kafir. There's nothing that Allah, the last statement, it's straightforward. The last statement, there's nothing that Allah attributed to Himself that can compare to any human created being. Let's repeat that statement. Because there's people right and left out here. Go ahead. Okay, there's no, let him say it. Go ahead. No, from the beginning, the third three statements we took.
And now,
away.
I'm going to say that I think that you know all I'm saying.
another one. We just said it. We said these are principles of Islam. Tampering with any principle of Islam is kufr. Any clear principle of Islam. الله المحبه يحب المحبه وي I'm asking myself and I'm asking you guys المحبه are the ones who compare Allah's attributes to ours they are the attributes to Allah however If you look in the books, if you dive in the books of Tawheed al-Aqeedah, you find many people, it's like Some people call us Mishabba, we call other people Mishabba, and it's four categories. The first category under this one, We are the Shabbiha is people who deny Allah's names. These are the Aramita and the Falasifa. The philosophers and a group called the Aramita. They were leaders in Egypt, and they were the ones who stayed at Blackstone for approximately 30 years and took it to Egypt. These two, they deny Allah's names. So what's the after effect of denying Allah's names? You deny Allah's names, They believe because if you give Allah his names, that means you're saying Allah's recreation. I need a name, you need a name, Allah needs a name, that means you are the Shabbat. So the effect of that, they deny Allah's names. If you give Allah 99 names for his names, that we don't know of, the ones that the Prophet Sallam told us about, the ones in the Quran, that means you're in the Shabbat.
Thank you.
would probably wasn't affected by that was in interior. He studied philosophy in detail to apply to the philosophers who are against Islam. And Veronica is another sect, like I said, I gave you a sect, these two believe Allah has names. So what can I say Allah has 99 names? And he has more names than there that we don't know of, and other names in the Quran. If we say all that, they call us Mushabbiha. You find in their books Mushabbiha. So not every time you see Mushabbiha, it's us telling other people Mushabbiha. We're getting called that name too. When we approach to Allah as 99 names, we call us Mushabbiha. You gotta know the difference. So not a book to say, oh, Allah, they got Mushabbiha there. The Sheikh Thomas Mushabbiha, then he's Rabbi Chad. We're getting called that name. So this is the first thing. You got it? What it is? The main point is one point. They don't believe Allah has 99 names. They don't believe Allah has no names. Zero names. They don't believe Allah has names. Why? They say, if you say Allah has names, you're making Allah like he's like us. And if you make Allah like he's like us, you are the Shabbat. You are comparing Allah to us. You got it?
Yeah.
come and say, no, all those things are reality. He has names, and we call them by meanings, and those things are reality. They come and tell us, we're saying, Allah really has names, and we shut them up. The third one, the deniers of Allah's attributes,
Yeah.
Allah has had some of them go to the extent of saying, because Allah has a shin. Allah told us in the Quran, He has a shin. He has a shin in the Quran. The judgment day will show his shin. They say, oh, he has a shin. That means he has two bones, the leg bone. That means he has a leg. That means his leg is like that. That means he has muscles. That means he has blood. That means he has flesh. And all that is wrong. Allah says he has a shin, we stop there. And there's an additional proof that he has a foot, we take that proof. And there is proof that Allah has foot when he starts to spread a healthy, continues to spread its hand, and then Allah puts his foot in it to stop the spread of healthy. So we believe Allah has a shin, we have a foot. Do you say, oh, Allah has told them? If there's no proof in there, if there is, we do it. And that's how we do it. Now, if Allah's foot, don't say it to me, oh, Allah has a leg. Get that out of your mind, because you will never encompass or get the comprehension of how a machine or foot is. The last point What's the pull for that? Can someone give me pulse? I think Corsi has pulse.
I don't need to make a place in it.
What am I? My name's Batman, and I'm a living human being, and I don't sleep. What am I? Okay. There you go. Yeah. I'm depressed. I got an illness. I got a problem. So is it good for a human being not to sleep? The opposite is in Allah's case. For a human being not to sleep is bad. And Allah, if you say he sleeps, that's bad. Look at the total opposite. The opposite. That's exactly what he's trying to show you that. He's saying, we're totally different. If you really want to look at it, and you say Allah is perfection, you would probably, without this proof, would say Allah's asleep. Because part of a human being good is you have to sleep. So man is a narcissist, but it's a total opposite.
Yeah.
show how different we are from Allah. I'm alive, I'm gonna die. Allah is alive, he's not gonna die. I'm dependent, Allah is independent. I have to sleep, Allah does not have to sleep. So the reason for this quote is to show the huge difference between human beings and the Creator Allah. The last point on this is that I, the human, come together in three verses in the Quran. Together, Hay Al Qayyum, together, and Hay Al Qayyum in three verses. The first one is, at the Kursi, Allah La Ilaha Illa Allah, Al-Hayy al-Qayyum. The second one is in Surat Al-Imran. The first verses of Surat Al-Imran, which is Surah number 2.
فإن الله غني عنكم.
تكفروا فإن الله غني عنكم فيما بكم كافر أما تزعوني نيتي من أن ينعوني دون سيفة الله by being existing on this planet you're not doing a favor to Allah by being a Muslim you're not doing a favor back to Allah by praying to Allah another word what is Allah right there the second verse in that series أنتم ولا في الأرض if you disbelieve not only you and everyone in this earth Allah doesn't really you know doesn't really care about that it's up to you yourself and you will not be harming but yourself it's Surah 14, verse number 8. In that series, أنتم من فرات فما الله غني الحمي. Allah totally independent of you and doesn't, you're not gonna bother Allah. You gather in line of 5 million people to become cover. You're not doing harm to Allah, but rather only to yourself. Another verse in Surah Fatir, verse number 15. Ya ayyuha al-nas, all you people, أنتم الفقراء. You're the one dependent on Allah. Allah will have me. Allah is independent of you. And you are not. All you people, you are the ones who are dependent on Allah, and Allah is independent of all of you. Verse 15, Surah Fatir. The last one, Surah Muhammad, verse 38. لله الحمي الناس which being an independent لأنتم الفقراء you poor independent الله الحمي which an independent you poor and dependent سورة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بس نمبر 38 You gotta know that Allah created the creation and He doesn't need it whether it's the opposite He created the creation and we need Allah He created the creation and He told you to fast and you have to fast because you need Allah. He created the creation and said pray and you have to pray because you need Allah. Allah doesn't need you, doesn't need your worship, doesn't need your prayer. He created you for that purpose. And order for you to establish a bond between you and Allah, you have to do all the things that Allah told you because you need it, not because Allah needs it. You got the police ball, you took your police, and you also know that Allah created you, the fact that Allah created you, and told you to do what you do, And you're not doing a favor to Allah. You're doing the favor to yourself. Allah doesn't need you, doesn't need your worship, doesn't need your sacrifice, doesn't need your prayer. You're the one who does that because you need Allah, you need the reward from Allah, you need to be saved from hellfire. Allah doesn't need you. That's the point. The last point is mu'na. Mu'na means Allah provided you without any effect. Meaning, Allah could give me $1,000,000. Is that gonna matter to Allah? Is Allah gonna become poor? When we came out today, we went up 3 steps. And I was breathing so hard, I was breathing the fire concert that I got. And that was only 3 steps. When Allah gives to someone, when Allah helps someone out of the misery he's in, is any effect like happened to me gonna happen to Allah? Three levels up. Imagine the human beings in their entirety. Allah saves so many people from danger. Allah saves so many people from harm. Is there an effect gonna go on Allah? Nothing at all. That's the point. That's exactly what mu'na means. Meaning, no effect. Not no. I mean, if there's a level below no effect, then you put it in that position. Like the hadith says in the hadith of Qudsi. Look at this hadith. He says that all of you, the human beings, came to me, all of you, the human being, and him, and you all asked, imagine that, not only in America, not only in Africa, not only in the East, all of us, human, and him, stand before Allah, and every one of you ask me anything they need, and I give everyone of you everything they need, nothing of my kingdom or my that which I have will be endless. Except, like, imagine you, as he said, like a toothpick, like a hole. You put it in the ocean, a huge ocean, and you take it out. Does the ocean become any less? That's what Allah compares, given all humanity, that which they wanted. And if you come to me and ask me for $10, that's my budget right there. Allah says that everyone comes and asks for me, and everyone gets $20 million, and this guy gets $1 million, this guy gets a palace, this guy gets an island on the... If everyone gets what they want, it's like putting a toothpick, putting a little, you know, like a bunch of a tree in the ocean, and taking it out. Look at it. Nothing of the ocean becomes any less. That's what mu'na means. Allah provides without any mu'minah. Yes.
You can't, yes, you can.
seria culpável com o professor. That's probably why they describe anything with a soul connection. Maybe to make your point, because if you say anything with a soul, you just answered it yourself. You helped answer. Because if you say anything with a soul, it's going to include the human, the gym, and the angels. Yes. Yes, what is it all that you were talking about?
All right.
place. any questions on Tawheed?
Of my servant,
angels say, yeah, as though Allah's displeased with it, meaning displeased in the fact that you take the soul of someone my servant wants. However, does it fall under Allah's will? Yes, and it's gonna happen, because we all have to die. Sharia doesn't have to happen. Why doesn't have to happen? Allah wants you to pray on time. You probably don't pray on time. So the Sharia doesn't have to happen. The Kalmiya has to happen. Yes, okay. Why? Because you're going to be affected by him. what happened to Sufis. You know, we got Sheikhs who are Sufis. Sometimes they teach matters of ibadah. And sometimes they're good at it. You should warn that this man is deviant and this beneath and so and so. Because they may be affected by a Sufi teacher. focus is on the problem is not like what you said is an excessive delight. These are not really Sufis. I mean, these are guys are minor innovators. I mean, if they do the art together, or if they pray together, or they do congregational things that are not supposed to be done together, these are really not Sufis. I mean, some people may think they're Sufi, but those are guys that are just minor innovations. Or they do the Maulid. Some people say, think everyone who does the Maulid is Sufi. That's not true. Maulid is an innovation. However, it doesn't make a Sufi. Sufis are corrupt people who are sick, shaggy, there's a new one I read about at Darcy, there's Ahmadiyyad, all these sects, and these are deviant people. They're deviant to the point most of these sects are out of Islam, out of the range of Islam. We had a local guy come here, and, you know, he spoke, and everyone cried in all his speeches. He came from Canton to Anapa to Dearborn, and everyone cried in his speeches. Actually, I drove to one of his speeches, and I thought he was good, but come to look into his tapes. I collected the larger platform on the stage. You know, they have a cover which they don't show the other. He's a Sufi. He said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of his tapes, he said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has control over the universe. He said in another one, Allah awliya of his tariqa have control over certain part of the universe. Meaning, instead of you asking Allah, you go ask that person, because Allah has control over the part of the universe. This is exactly what the one had Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. This rebels against the Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. Next statement that's gonna come over here is gonna tell you that there's nothing that compares to Allah. Meaning there's no Sufi Wali, there's no leader who can compare. This is what he said on the stage. There are levels, there are ranks. That's why they become popular so far. That's because there are ranks. You go in them, it's a cult. You go in the first level, second level, third level. You get to a point in the Sufi belief where you don't have to no longer pray or fast or do anything anymore. And that's what they believe. Worship Allah until you reach Yaqeen. To us, Yaqeen is what? To them, Yaqeen is a level. So they believe by that their leaders are higher than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died, and he had his uncle, and his wife was carrying him to pray. He died in that status. He didn't reach the end that Sufi sheikhs have reached. There's a lot of other things. You have to deal with the jinn, you get da sua festa, toda a língua seja assim. De cut, short, and their necks, and they go and jump on fire and walk on fire. They show up in two places in one time, and all this is the effect of dealing with you. For example, some of them will be in Damascus. One day I'll be in Damascus, and that same person will be seen in Hajj. Same time. The people say, one on Hajj said, when Lord made Hajj with us. The guy said he was with us. He gave the hook with the leader in Damascus. They're both right. They deal with Jinn. The Jinn does things with them. You know, if you ever see him put inside in their stomach to thank you and show you all this to God, don't let me put that sword in your stomach. Take the sword and see if it works when you do it yourself. And back to your first question, Sarah. It's not our duty to go looking around for mistakes of the people. Really, like the sex, you know, that do that. That aim is to go and stay after someone, without a mistake. Allah, I know people that have to share. And they collect these tapes, and they go and dig through these tapes, and listen, and over, not to learn, to collect a little tiny mistake, and look without that mistake. I say, if that person is on unassimilative mind, is trying to do something good, leave him the heck alone, you know, leave him alone, leave him be, like Chef Mungier, like Chef Local Scholars, wherever they are, leave these three people alone, let them do their dialogue, right? You know, but I'm not seeing someone who is like the one who just mentioned that I think is there. That's a difference. A man who's trying to follow the Quran and the Sunnah, and as much as he can, and he's trying to apply this and teach it, leave him alone. Don't get in his way. Don't learn of him. Yes, he may have mistakes. Why don't you communicate to him? Why don't you talk to him? Why don't you advise him?
Supposedly, in the public, talk about Nixon.
all the millions of cars go and pick brothers and sisters up and clap and dance and do events that supposedly they claim Islamic, and they do a lot of things. But yeah, their brother, they talk and mess out about them. So, first of all, fix ourselves before we start lashing at our brothers and sisters. Yes.
Something wanted from them, and running in the water from them, so that he's giving up this person.
You're channel if you think you're perfect, or any day of our time is perfect, then we have a problem. Someone might have said, no, I'm not going to have any fucking listening.